This is the Subcommittee on Education and Natural Resources. This is Thursday, June 2nd, 2005, and we're here today for work session on two bills. The first bill is House Bill 5139, which is the budget bill for the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. The second bill is House Bill 2089A, which is relating to transient lodging taxes. We'll open a work session on House Bill 5139. Ms. Jordan.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I delivered the packet of the work session materials to your office, and I see that you all brought them back with you. You do get gold stars, yes. So I'm not going to kind of go through the first page, which is just sort of an overview of the governor's recommended budget, but I would direct your attention to the last paragraph on the first page, which talks about the element in the House budget plan to realign the Oregon State Fair with Oregon Parks and Recreation. And until some decisions are made about the disposition of the State Fair, this office is recommending that there are some packages that we hold decisions on until final amendments to the bill can be made. And so we won't be moving the budget out of subcommittee today, but we will move on all of the packages except for the few that I'm recommending to be held back. So on page 2, I would just review for you the technical adjustments that reduce the budget by $207,919 total funds, which is the AG rate reduction, the PERS rate reduction, DAS assessment, services and supplies, changes in special payments. The PERS, DAS, and Attorney General are all standard adjustments that are being made in all budgets. The technical adjustment to services and supplies relates to a lottery fund reduction of $800,000 for monthly charges that was calculated without taking into account the department's need to convert several 56K modems to T1 lines, and there is a different rate. So the agency has requested an adjustment to be able to make those payments during the biennium, and that would be the $220,968 in services and supplies. And I am recommending approval of that. The second adjustment is just to move $300,000 between some categories in operations and facility investment. Last biennium, we made some changes in the youth crew payment from a special payment to a professional services contract. Right. And as a result, we got it kind of mixed up in the process. And so this corrects that so that it is accurately reflected in their budget. And there is a revenue adjustment to correct an error in the amount of transfers out to counties by reducing the revenue amount by $1,107,887. The department, in preparing the budget, didn't take into account transferring the 10% that is retained by the department for competitive county opportunity grants that is required in statute. So this corrects that total transfer to counties to $9.9 million. And so with that, Madam Chair, if you want to, are there any questions about the technical adjustments?
Questions or comments for LFO on the recommendations for the technical adjustments?
Chair, yes. I'm glad these errors were found. That means we're doing everything right. How do these errors happen? How does that happen?
Madam Chair, Representative Schaffler, the budgets are prepared like 2 years ago, and information has to be put into, you know, there are real tech timelines for doing that, and the process requires cutoff dates. And they can't make changes after that date until it gets to the legislative, through the legislative process. These last three technical adjustments the agency raised as they were fine-tuning their documentation. And I can't take credit for these. So
it is, in my understanding, Representative Schaffler, a very interesting process that actually begins shortly after we leave the building. They start building the budgets that we'll work on in the next legislative session. And as time unfolds, some things become more clear than they were before, and when you get that clarity, you just have to kind of make technical adjustments. And then there are, as Ms. Jordan said, pretty defined lines drawn in different places of the process where you can't change from that period forward. So we end up being kind of the last catch-all for all the things that have been discovered as this budget's worked its way down the path. And it's the LFO staff that works with the BAM analysts to make sure that we've woven this together as correctly as it's possible to do at this very final stage.
They can't just correct the error. It has to be done legislatively to correct it. Right. Okay. Thank you.
Same thing, Madam Speaker, happens in policy bills where we find errors in bills that we actually start during the session. I was, where's that? We didn't understand that word caused this to happen. We got to fix it.
And sometimes it's the next session.
Yes.
Any further questions or comments on the LFO recommendations and technical adjustments? Then I'd accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendations for the technical adjustments.
So moved.
Is there discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion. Without objection, the motion is carried.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And now we'll move into recommendations on the policy package. Package 110 was brought forward by the agency to provide funding for phase two of the new park located in Washington County. It added one limited duration transportation engineer to continue the existing LD position associated with the first stage, so it continues one FTE. LFO is recommending approval with a reduction of $967 to implement the reduction in PERS rates, and this is related to performance measure 13 that's attached. Do you want me to just run through these?
Go ahead and explain why we're going to hold the second piece of this.
I will. The second piece of this was to add $3 million continue more development within this park in Washington County because of the increase in revenues that the agency will benefit from as a result of the line games. And I'm recommending holding this one because if the state fair does become part of parks, there is some potential that they might need some of those lottery funds to help operate that park.
Okay.
That new park.
So what we would want to do here then is take a motion to approve the $8 million piece of this and not take any action on the $3 million piece.
That's correct.
Okay. I would accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendation for package 110 relating to the $8,099,026. I have the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion. Without objection, that motion carries.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Package 120 adds four permanent positions in lieu of continuing four limited duration positions in facility improvement. These are engineers and contract specialists for the accelerated program that they're recommending in another package. I recommend approval with a reduction of $2,609 lottery fund to implement the reduction in PERS rates, and this is relates to performance measure number 2 and 13.
Questions or comments on the LFO recommendation to package 120? I take a motion to accept the LFO recommendation on package 120. Is there a discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion. Without objection, that motion carries.
Package 121 adds three permanent positions, a natural resource specialist and program tech 2, and an engineering specialist 2 to address increases in their workload at 2.5 FTE and $289,524. I'm recommending approval with the reduction of $1,693 to implement the PERS rate reduction.
Questions or comments to the LFO recommendation on package 121?
Is this lottery fund dollars?
No, this is other fund dollars, so this will come from their user fees.
Further questions or comments? I would accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendation to package 121.
So made.
Discussion on the motion. Objection to the motion. Without objection, the motion is carried.
Package 130 adds one permanent information systems position and one six and a four for operations and maintenance of the geographic information system and property facility management system funded with lottery funds, and adds a limited duration human resource specialist to improve recruitment and workers' comp claim management for a total of three FTE. The agency had previously tried contracting for GIS property and facility management services in the last biennium and found that they contracted as much as they could and they need ongoing support by permanent staff. And on the human resource specialist position, there is some additional work on in the workers' comp area and in recruitment that the agency is trying to get a handle on, and they have identified some performance measures to report back to the next legislative assembly, and that's why they're requesting a limited duration position, and I'm recommending approval with the PERS rate reduction.
And so the two sections of this policy option package just reflect that there are two funding sources.
That's correct.
Okay, for any questions or comments on the LFO recommendation to package 130? I would accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendation for package 130.
So moved.
Is there discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion. Without objection, the motion is carried.
Package 140 is in the Heritage Program, makes permanent two limited duration positions that were approved in 2003-05 and continues two limited duration positions for preservation workload. And LFO is recommending approval with the PERS rate reduction.
Questions or comments on the LFO recommendation on package 140?
Madam Chair, can you just, well, there's a lot of these limited duration positions still. Are these limited duration, or could they possibly in the future be paid full time?
The two limited duration positions that are being recommended to be made permanent were previously limited duration, and the agency has found that that workload is continuing, and so it is appropriate to make those permanent. The other two limited duration positions that they have requested to continue as limited duration has the potential of being temporary in nature, so they're not requesting that those be made permanent. So that's generally how that's.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Further questions or comments? I would take a motion to approve the LFO recommendation to package 140.
So moved.
Discussion on the motion. Objection to the motion. Without objection, the motion carries.
Package 150 adds 14 positions for the four new parks that were acquired during the interim, and adds startup costs to be phased out in the 07-09 budget. So there are two components to this package. The first is on this page at $575,320. Those are the startup costs. And on the second, on the next page, you'll find the second component, which is the salaries and services and supplies that's related to the 14 positions. And I'm recommending approval with the PERS rate reduction.
Again, two separate funding sources accounting for the little peaking shear line between these two pieces of the package.
Right.
Questions or comments on the LFO recommendation to package 150? Representative Jensen.
Thank you. The positions in question here, it would appear that are these full-time positions?
I have to go back and look. Can you know?
There's not.
5.31.
Madam Chair, Representative Jensen, my name is Tim Wood, Director of the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. And no, they're not. Some of these positions are part-time positions, so I think that. On the wrong page here, but the total number of positions are 14, but the total number of FTE is 5.3.
Does that include then part-time positions? Some summer, you know, activity or
Madam Chair,
whatever that particular park might be operational.
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
clarification. Other questions or comments on the LFO recommendation to package 150? I would accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendation. Is there discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion. Without objection, the motion carries. Perhaps you'd just like to stay there in the
in anticipation.
Package 160 is for the Heritage Program, provides funding for some professional service contracts to plan for the 2009 Oregon Sesquicentennial commemoration, and $150,000, and LFO is recommending approval.
Well, hopefully at the end of this, we'll all have sesquicentennial firmly fixed in our vocabulary.
Let's say $1,000 a year.
Questions or comments on the LFO recommendation to package 160? I'd accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendation.
So moved.
Discussion on the motion. Objection to the motion. Without objection, the motion carries.
Package 170 is a package that the agency would recommend $6 million be added to their facility improvements program as a result of the increased revenue from in lottery, and LFO is recommending that we hold that package. So I will move on to package 180, which is in operations, to add 3 full-time park rangers to increase public awareness of rules and regulations at coastal state parks and beaches, improve beach safety awareness, and how to mitigate human impact on habitat and wildlife.
Okay, again, 2 funding sources for this package. Questions and comments on the LFO recommendation to package 180?
Just a comment, Madam Chair. Beach safety is extremely critical. I've had one of my constituents lost a granddaughter due to a log roll, and a lot of people don't know the dangers of being on the beach, and I think this is a prudent move.
I would accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendation to package 180.
So moved.
I have the motion. Is there discussion? Objection. Without objection, the motion carries.
Package 190 dedicates revenues from the special salmon license plates to fund salmon restoration projects, and it links the revenue source directly to how the money is used, and LFO recommends approval.
Discussion on the LFO recommendation?
No.
Representative Schaffner.
There's nothing wrong with the recommendation, but wasn't there some issue about the success or lack of success of this license plate, these specialty license plates?
Madam Chair, Representative Schaffer, I think that's probably a general assessment of specialty license plates. I'm not the expert on that, but I think revenue has not been generated at the level that some of the various interests that sponsored those license plates would have anticipated, and I think there has been some move just to help sort of contain the number of specialty license plates, but That's about my level of knowledge there.
Thank you, and I hope we can print in Oregon again someday, too. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I think this has been the most successful of the specialty license plates.
Well, and if I'm not mistaken, this $341,000 represents half of the revenue that's generated by the salmon plates, the other half going into the water quality salmon restoration side of this. So, you know, $700 million or $750,000 is a piece of sharp stick in the eye.
And Madam Chair, may I, how do we get away with taking that money and spending it on something other than roads? How do we do that?
I believe that the legislation that enabled the license plate also delineates where the funding is to be spent on it.
The fee is over and above the standard fee. If you pay a regular renewal plus an additional fee for the salmon license plate, and that's the additional
self-imposed tax for people who want to
like a checkoff on your income tax.
Yeah. Madam Chair, I'm curious that why this particular account goes into the Parks Department rather than into OWEB.
Ms. Jordan?
Madam Chair, Representative Jensen, when this legislation was passed, the agency was struggling in finding sources of revenue to fund and keep parks open. And so the legislature was looking for all kinds of different opportunities to find ways to stream money towards the department. And the license plate revenue was one of those that was being discussed in the legislature at the time, and so they decided to split the revenue between parks and the water resources, and it's just not been changed. For Measure 66.
Right. Well, it's pre-66.
Correct.
Yes, I understood that. And obviously, this is neither the place nor the time to, you know, to discuss that issue, so I just wanted that on the record of why this was here rather than in another agency.
Further questions or comments on the LFO recommendation to package 190? I would accept a motion to move the LFO recommendation to package 190. Discussion on the motion. Objection to the motion. Without objection, the motion carries.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Could I just make another comment?
Uh-huh.
It would strike me then that since we've got some small amount, but still amount of money that's going into salmon restoration, that this agency, who have not been subject to reporting to the interim committee that deals with the Oregon plan, would probably be added to that category of agencies that might be called to report what they're doing to the agency that deals with that.
Perhaps, Ms. Jordan, we could include that in the budget note or the narrative that goes along with the budget, that the agency
We can do that, yes. And I would point out that the agency is required to report to the Legislative Assembly on how they used these revenues, and they do that along with their budget every biennium since that was passed.
Representative Shockley.
Sure, thank you. You know, and in the subcommittee, we did talk about, you know, the incredible amount of money that comes from Measure 66, and I think it's 2015, it's up for renewal. And if that doesn't get renewed for some reason, then we'll be back to making more license plates to keep these parks open. And I pray it does be renewed, and I'll be out there working to do that. But I just wanted to mention that here.
And I think your point is very well taken. And throughout the deliberations with how to use the Measure 66 money in this agency, through the shelf life of the measure, a large part of the discussion has been around how to sustain what we're building over time. So it is something we need to be very mindful of. Where are we?
Package 200.
Okay.
In administration, it's to provide funding to update the reservation system and at $166,000 lottery fund and $184,000 other funds, and LFO is recommending approval.
Questions or comments on the LFO recommendation to package 200? I take a motion to approve the LFO recommendation. Is there discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion. Without objection, the motion carries.
Package 210 is in the Heritage Program, providing resources to evaluate historic properties, remaining artifacts, and to coordinate complete inventory of state-owned cultural properties. That's $50,000 lottery fund, and I recommend approval.
Questions or comments on the LFO recommendation? I would take a motion to approve the recommendation. Discussion on the motion? Objection? Without objection, the motion carries.
Package 220 is also in the Heritage Program, changes the museum grant program into a competitive grant program and adds a resource to double the size of the program from $50,000 to $100,000. I don't know if that legislation has moved through the... It has. It's passed. Great. So this is an additional $50,000 lottery fund, and I recommend approval.
Questions or comments? Motion? I have a motion to approve the LFO recommendation to package 220. Discussion? Objection? Without objection, motion carries.
Package 230 provides Department of Forestry funding to fund two seasonal interpretive positions and two interns for the Tillamook Interpretive Center at $118,625 lottery funds, and LFO recommends approval.
Discussion on the LFO recommendation?
Madam Chair.
Representative Schaffner.
Will this be an ongoing... I'm not against this. This will be a continued... These employees will...
Madam Chair, Representative Schaffler, it's our expectation that it would be an ongoing, as long as there is lottery money available. If the Parks Commission finds other resources that they'd like to use for supporting the Tillamook Interpretive Center, that is also a possibility.
And then, when is that scheduled to open?
Madam Chair, Representative Schaffler, I believe this fall, September, October time frame, I believe.
Further discussion? I would accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendation.
So moved.
I have discussion on the motion. Objection to the motion. Without objection, the motion carries.
Package 240 replaces existing revolving funds with petty cash fund for small purchases. It's a one-time adjustment to be phased out until 709, and it doesn't reflect any increase in the eventual increase in the agency's budget for $100,000, and I recommend approval.
Discussion on LFO? Yeah.
Yes. I'm always a little concerned with petty cash, especially when it's not so petty at $100,000. What sort of safeguards will you have in place for this?
Madam Chair, Representative March, we have... we are a large cash handling agency now, as you can well imagine, the transactions that occur at campgrounds. And so we have a set of procedures already established for handling cash, and those would be expanded to specifically address accounting for petty cash funds. So the payments out of petty cash would require approval and documentation by a manager or somebody in the supervisory chain, and the receipt would be, from the expenditure would be taken and accounted for in the petty cash fund. We also have an internal auditor in our department, and if this is approved, as we begin to implement, this would be an item of audit interest for our internal auditor to be sure those controls are in place. Right now, we do this with checks and Visa cards, and in some cases, checks are not appropriate, nor are Visa cards for some of the small purchases. So this gives us some flexibility.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Being an internal auditor myself, make sure that you have good segregation of duties with your cash handling, and I would like to get a report back on from their internal auditor on how this is working out in the next legislative session.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea. We did discuss this in detail during the phase two presentation of the agency, but if it would be possible, Ms. Jordan, to add that language to the budget report, I think that being able to take a look at that internal auditor report would be a benefit to the people that sit behind here next time.
Sure.
Representative Shaw.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple of years ago, my friends and I went backpacking up in the gorge, and we bought a permit, and we put cash in the envelope, and you just stick it in that box. And there was a person there, a retired woman in a trailer. Is she a paid employee, and does she collect that money, or does a forest ranger? How does that money get collected? And, Madam Chair, Greg Smith, I think, Representative Smith, has a bill that would force anybody who handles money in government to take a week off, because that's how they find glitches in money use. Is there anything like that? And do you do background checks on these folks that are handling the money before they're allowed to handle the money?
Madam Chair, Representative Schaffer, to your first question, depending on whether that was a parks location operated by the Oregon Parks Department or Forest Service, in the gorge it could be either one. But the question is relevant regardless of who does it. We have what we call iron rangers, and those are the drop boxes that you put the money in. That money in our department goes into another box inside there, which is locked, and the ranger then removes, it's park staff that does that, comes by, removes that lock box, takes that lock box back to the park location, and that count is then done and verified between the ranger and an additional employee. That money is not handled by the volunteers, and they are indeed volunteers. We use a large number of hosts in our parks who do various kinds of things. Probably the location you're talking is most likely a Forest Service site, but they operate very similar to the way we do too. I'm sorry, I missed the other part.
Checks,
the background check. We do, when we hire employees and we have employees that handle cash, we do a criminal history check before they're hired.
And may I just say, the woman was very helpful, told us what the trail was like, where we could get water. It was a wonderful, pleasant uphill and downhill hike. 3 days in a bush. Thank you.
In that case, Representative Schaffer, I'm sure it was a state park.
Further comments or questions on the LFO recommendation to package 240? I would take a motion to move the LFO recommendation to package 240.
I'll so move.
Discussion on the motion. Objection to the motion. Without objection, the motion is carried.
Thank you. Madam Chair, package 250 is another package dealing with additional lottery revenue that we're recommending holding. So I'll move on to package 260, which is the Ophir Rest Area. This is a property transfer from the Oregon Department of Transportation. The Oregon Department of Transportation is reducing their budget by one additional FTE so that the Parks Department can add an FTE. And LFO is recommending approval.
Discussion on the LFO recommendation to package 260. I'll take a motion to accept the LFO recommendation. Is there discussion on the motion? Objection? Without objection, the motion carries.
Does anyone know where this Ophir is?
Not a clue.
It's just down the road from my house.
All right.
Oh, this is
the...
You all voted for something. You don't know where it is.
The Wayne Krieger Memorial...
Yeah, that's where it
is. Okay, we could add a budget note.
Actually, I was hoping he would have the class to name it after his wife.
More appropriate. She's more classy than I am.
Okay, let's move along.
Okay, Madam Chair, the next four items are technical adjustments that have to do with... carry over money from the current biennium. The first one is in the Heritage area. This is to carry forward expenditure limitation for Lewis and Clark grant. The grant was approved in the current biennium but won't pay out until the $150,000 of it won't pay out until this biennium, and I'm recommending approval of that adjustment.
Okay, let's just go through all these technical adjustments and we'll take
okay.
one motion for them.
The second one is to carry forward limitation for a contract with the University of Oregon. This is for $50,000. It is the same situation. They have a contract that won't pay out until this biennium, so that's to carry over $50,000 in lottery funds. The third one is for $500,000. This is a local government grant that was approved and for the city of Kaiser. It will not pay out until 2007, and that's for $500,000 lottery funds. And that's the end of the carryover. And the last one is a statewide reclass study that was done by DAS is doing away with a program technician classification, and there are several positions within parks that fall into that category, so those are being reclassified. Two of them remain in the same salary range. There are no adjustments. The other two require higher salary range. The new classifications are Natural Resource Specialist 3 and Internal Auditor 2, Safety Specialist 1, and Principal Exec Manager D. And one of the positions required a shift from other fund to lottery fund, and I recommend approval.
Questions or comments on the 801 packages?
There's one more on the second page.
Yes.
On that one. Which is a technical adjustment to convert non-limited budget of $3.8 million to an expenditure limitation in operation. And this money is used for donations, sale of park property, park housing, concession operations, cabin yards, and business accounts.
Okay. Questions or comments on any of the 801 parts pieces. I take a motion to accept the LFO recommendation to package 801-1 through 5. Is there discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion carries. Representative Jensen.
I see in here, and I'm sure that staff provided explanation for this at the beginning, but we're 17 million plus or minus some change on hold. And could you help me understand what is happening to the hold? I mean, I'd be happy to hold it for the Parks Division.
Certainly, Madam Chair, Representative Jensen. The House budget plan calls for transferring the Oregon State Fair to the Parks Department. And the reason that the LFO office is recommending hold on those funds is that there may be some financial adjustments that need to be made when those final decisions get made about whether to move the State Fair to Parks and Recreation. And so rather than go and undo what we've already done, we're just going to hold on some of those additional packages.
Until that is decided or not decided.
Correct.
And what is $17 million going to do as far as the Oregon State Park or the Oregon State Fair grounds? First off, $17 million seems like a lot of money to me, but secondly...
And $17 million is not... All of that is not involved in the discussion.
Okay.
But rather than having to undo these packages, we're just going to put them on the shelf, and we also are not going to move this budget at this time until that decision is made and we can move it all together.
So what I could anticipate then... Package 170 might come back to us, with a $3.5 million rather than the $6 million that's shown here, and so on with the other possible packages. I just wondered. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for the question. It helped me.
Oh, okay. Representative Shoffler.
Yeah, I apologize for being late. I know you explained it before I got here, but is or will the state fairgrounds then become a state park?
Representative Shoffley, that is a policy discussion that's underway right now.
All right, thank you.
And Madam Chair,
and there's also a good incentive here to be here at the start of the meeting.
Yes, ma'am. All right.
Ms. Jordan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The final package is a companion package with one in the Water Resources Department. This would provide $200,000 to Water Resources in scenic waterways permitting process by reimbursing the department for their efforts in evaluating those permits. And LFO is recommending approval of the $200,000 lottery fund with the understanding that the Water Resources Department will make a biennial report to the Parks Department on the cost, activities completed, and outcomes achieved with the funding provided.
Questions or comments on the LFO recommendation to Package 811? Motion to accept Package 811?
Moved.
Discussion on the motion? Objections? Without objection, the motion is carried.
The next item is a budget note that the chairs, the House and Senate, have requested that the department be directed to prepare a strategic plan that will guide the acquisition of new properties consistent with the department's mission. The plan shall link acquisition of land to statewide or regional needs and be based on current and projected demands as documented in the statewide comprehensive outdoor recreation plan, demographic trends impacting outdoor recreation, and capacity and use of existing properties. And the department is further directed to develop performance measures that identify progress toward meeting the goals of the land acquisition strategy. And the department shall report the results to the Interim Joint Legislative Audit Committee and Emergency Board by July 2006. This is to deal with a performance measure. There seemed to be lacking some strategic direction in the department on land acquisitions in particular, and what the goal is, and when do they know when they've acquired enough. So it's to get the commission to be thinking in a strategic way.
Representative Martin.
Yeah, sometimes wording strikes me as odd, and it's the plan shall link the acquisition of land to statewide or regional needs. It seemed to me it might be better said to statewide and regional needs, but to take them both into consideration at the same time rather than in.
Well, I think the intent is that they should take both of them into consideration. This stems from a phase two discussion that we've had, and also a very robust discussion that was held at the co-chair level back when they were speaking to each other, and about the issue that Representative Schaffler raised about the sustainability of this system and having a plan that maximized the potential that the Measure 66 money opportunity afforded the agency. And so we were in no way disagreeing with the acquisitions that the commission had made. In fact, I think that they've made some excellent acquisitions, but there was concern expressed about an overall cohesive plan to address needs in different parts of the state and make sure that there was an overall plan in place so that the acquisitions fit into a post-Measure 66 environment.
Right, right.
Further discussion on the budget note? I would accept a motion to move the budget note into the budget bill. I have the motion. Is there discussion? Objection? Without objection, the motion carries.
Okay, the last thing to discuss today is the performance measures. By the way, the attachment that you have that links performance measures to any of the policy packages that have positions in them is attached as well.
Very useful.
Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Could we put this on every budget, something like this?
Well, I hesitate to add more work to the staff at this point who are laboring mightily back there, but this is very helpful. A number of budgets that I've seen simply note the performance measures in the policy option package and require us to actually make the linkage.
Well, and the reason I ask is another member of the House asked me were the performance measures directly linked or associated with the budget. And I said, well, some of them are clearly connected, some not so clearly, but this kind of sheet would, in the future would be very helpful budget by budget, I think. So I'd say, well, here you go, right there.
All of my budgets will have it, but...
You got the answer.
But I'm not setting any standards. The performance measure sheet, there are some modifications and deletions and additions, and I'm going to run through those for you. This was as a result of the discussions that we had in Phase 1 and 2 with the agency during the budget presentation. The first one had to do with the percent of qualified, had to do with grants, and we've combined them into the percent of all qualified local recreation and heritage grant requests funded. We changed that grant so it was replaced from total investment in outdoor recreation opportunities leveraged through OPRD grant awards. Previously, they were giving us dollar amounts. Now we're moving to a percent of those that were funded, and it gives what I've done here is provide some information about how they would calculate that and report it. And the new measures must be approved by the Joint Legislative Audit Committee by October 1st. So recommending replacement of that one, adding the average number of days between the close of the grant application period and grant award notification, and average number of days between receipt of complete grant reimbursement request and payment. And those are also need to be approved by the Joint Legislative Audit Committee by October. The second measure was percent of Oregonians saying that Oregon is doing a very good job of providing parks. This is being modified to percent of Oregonians who believe natural areas and believe Oregon is doing a very or somewhat good job of providing parks and natural areas and preserving Oregon's heritage. So combine the programs. Leaving the number of visitors to Oregon State Parks the same. Deleting kilowatt hours with a suggestion if the agency, if this is important to the agency, they keep it as an internal measure. Deleting the investment in preserving Oregon's cultural resources through OPRD grant awards. Modifying the next one from number of properties participating in federal and state incentive programs to number of properties, sites, and districts that benefit from an OPRD managed heritage program. Modifying the next one from acres of land added to percent of acquisition needs met. And this may be further modified as the department fine-tunes their strategy for land acquisition, so the new measure to be reported to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee by October 1st. Leaving the next one the same. Deleting total investment grants awarded for construction improvements. Leaving the new beach and river access sites the same. Miles of new trail and percent of alternative camping opportunities the same. Modifying percent reduction in facilities backlog since 1999 by projecting the graph to 2014. Replacing percent of department budget funded by the general fund. Nobody liked that one. Percent of core department functions funded by non-lottery revenue sources. And adding the two customer service measures that is being added to all agency budgets.
Questions or comments on the performance measures? Representative March.
Yes, on the first page, number 2, percent of Oregonians who believe Oregon is doing da-da-da-da, we're actually asking three questions there. I hope we don't ask that as one question. I mean, you've got, you know, providing parks, natural areas, and Oregon's heritage. And Oregon's heritage gets pretty complicated, I think, in some people's minds. I mean, you know, is it the historical heritage? Is it, you know, the heritage of a majority of people or what? And so if that is, if I
would... It's not one question.
It's not one question. Good. Okay.
It's a survey that's done of different populations, and then it's compiled and provided into a performance measure.
Okay.
And I would think that it would be very safe to assume that heritage here would be defined by the heritage programs that the agency oversees.
Right. Yeah, so you kind of have to be careful on your polling.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Further questions or comments, Representative Jensen?
Thank you. Yeah, I guess a question or a comment. The customer rating, customer satisfaction, or percent of Oregonians, you know, rating the job parks are doing. Are we including, is there an inclusion of the out-of-state visitors to our parks in this? One of the things I think that we, certainly the parks program, at least in my perception, and others might disagree, but it's we spend our taxpayer money or lottery money or, you know, whatever here for kind of Oregonians, so that Oregon families can have parks and Oregon children can have places to go. But by the same token, our parks are a real asset to our tourism industry, and it you know, it would, I would want to know if on this, if our tourist industry is very happy with the parks here, because these are folks who are probably stopping at parks across the country, or oftentimes are folks who are stopping at parks across the country, and we'd like to have them come back to Oregon next season for their vacations rather than going to some other place where they think there are better parks. And I just, that's a question, I guess, for the department or, you know, for the, as we work with this, and I'm sorry, obviously I wasn't in the phase one and two on this.
Ms. Jordan, do you want to punt that to Mr. Wood, or do you want to take it yourself?
Well, real quick, and then I'll let Tim add, but every visitor to state parks is provided a visitor comment card, and they are able to provide feedback to the park in that manner. Whether they, you know, if they had a positive experience, they're not necessarily always going to drop those kinds of cards off, but I suspect that they do. So, Tim is.
Sure. Madam Chair, Representative Jensen, Susie's right. Those who camp and are registered campers, they get a comment card, and regardless of what state they come from. We also, at the agency level, collect comments that we get back, and, of course, those are across the spectrum of all our visitors. Item about, if Representative, you're referring to the one on the front page here?
I was referring to the front page and then the very back page three.
I'm not certain how the page three one will be done. Okay. That's the sort of the overall survey. The one which gets us the information on the front page comes from the Oregon the biennial survey that the Benchmarks folks do.
Progress Board.
And those are, I'm relatively certain, directed just to Oregonians. Right. But you have a good point.
And I don't, I think the department is hearing this. It's just that I'd like us to try to focus in, you know, as we can. I don't want to make it a big deal, but I would kind of like to know where the folks from Timbuktu rate or think about our parks. And I think maybe within the existing framework of things, you know, the ability is here for them or there for them to do that. So appreciate your indulgence. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Shoffman.
We're really lucky here in Oregon. It's naturally, arguably, the most beautiful place in the world. You can make a very good argument that it is. But Oregonians and people from out of the state come here and spend a good amount of money when they visit our parks, too. Is there any way, if we could quantify that and dial that in and show folks that we're getting a great return for our investment, that would go out and say, look what government's doing, something good. It would make our life and job a lot easier. But if we could somehow quantify that, get a number there.
Madam Chair, Representative Shoffer, that's a good point. We just recently completed with OSU a study of what the economic impact of our facility investment in local grants program has had in local economies. And our next step then is to look at sort of the recreation aspect. What is the benefit in terms of economics to local communities from tourism at state parks and use of state parks? And so we're going to venture into that project here shortly, and hopefully we'll have some data to support that.
Good luck.
Any more, Representative?
Just to follow up on Representative Jensen's line of question, do you currently compare out-of-state visitors with in-state visitors and their perception of the parks system? Is that part of your...
Representative Morgan... Representative March. No, we don't do that. I mean, we don't compare. We have a general idea of how many what percent of our Oregonians, Washingtonians, Californians, and Idahoans, are visitors, and then other from other states. But we don't segregate those comments and compare them against Oregonians. I'm not sure that we really have the mechanism to do that, but.
Madam Chair, if you've got a little survey form that you're asking them to fill out, maybe the last question, just say, what state are you from? And then you could do some comparisons and see how we did compare to other states.
Thank you. Further comments on the performance measures? I would accept a motion to approve the performance measures with the recommendations that have been put forth by the Legislative Fiscal Office. Discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. And I think that completes our work session on House Bill 5139, so I'll close that work session, and I'll open a work session on House Bill 2089A.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 2089A allows, you have a measure summary in front of you, and it allows state or local government to withhold payment of tax collected on camping and recreational vehicle spaces until the amount collected by the agency reaches or exceeds $100. And I think the agency had some experience with a very small amount of tax that needed to be transmitted to a local government and ended up paying a penalty because it wasn't large enough, and so that's what precipitated this measure. So if, Tim, you might want to explain it, but there is no fiscal impact, by the way.
Sure, Madam Chair. Another reason for this is the fact that in the wintertime, where we have parks that collect lodging taxes in counties that aren't, and those parks aren't highly utilized in the wintertime, the small amounts of money that accrue for tax payment purposes, you know, require a monthly payment to the counties, and they don't amount to, the supposition would be it costs more for us to process that and write the check than it does, than it is the amount of the check. So what we're asking to do is accumulate those funds to it till at least we have $100 in payments due, and then make that payment. But at the end of each fiscal year, the full payments are made, so the counties are made whole. Counties, cities, whatever the jurisdictions are made whole.
Are the jurisdictions in agreement with this, the local jurisdictions?
I'm sure we've had no objection to this.
Any questions or comments or discussions on House Bill 2089A?
Makes fiscal sense, Madam Chair.
It does make fiscal sense. I would accept a motion then to move House Bill 2089A to the full budget committee with the due pass recommendation.
So
I have the motion. Is there discussion? Objection? Without objection, the motion is carried. And Representative March, given your new career as a fiscally restrained fee bill carrier, may I burden you with this one?
Absolutely, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much. And with that, this meeting is adjourned.
No questions.